Football, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. And here he is. Here's Steve Stone on baseball right here. Hey.
Well, try Bub City because of the macaroni and cheese. You're going to love it.
Oh, yes.
I haven't had that.
I'm well familiar with that.
What a tip.
Yeah, I'm well familiar. You know, I got family in that company.
It's
and
true.
Turns out.
Well-positioned family.
I find myself eating there quite a bit because they got that card they carry with them. They drop down on the table after they've ordered $6 million worth of stuff, and they go, and then it's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, look, can I just need an answer to this. Last week I spent a lot of time, just trying to find storylines with the Chicago White Sox that I could get my arms around and get some sort of optimism out of. And every time last week that I was feeling something, especially that game that they lost, they were going in the ninth 5-2. Was that Wednesday or Thursday? When was that? And you know, they end up losing 6-5 to the Pirates. You're like, how devastating is this for these young kids, or is it at all?
Well, look, nobody wants to lose, and you have to understand that these athletes have dominated every level of competition until they got to the major leagues, or they wouldn't get to the major leagues because these are the best players in the world. And so the fact is that nobody has ever won in a rebuild, and the White Sox are not going to be the first. And the storylines are, take a look at the guys that you think might be building blocks, and just to name a few, you'd have to say that Moncada is going to be around when this team gets good, and Abreu is going to be around when this team gets good. And you have to figure that Rodon is going to be when he comes back, which is going to be in the not-too-distant future. There's a couple of other guys on this team that probably will be there. I would say that Yoelmer Sanchez has a good chance of being around when this team gets good.
Love his name.
And then, you know, and then they're going to fill in around that with some really talented youngsters. If the minor leagues was barren, then you really couldn't do much of a rebuild because you wouldn't have the pieces in place to do that.
But you got great kids coming up.
We do, and we're living in an instant gratification society where you want everything to happen now, but yeah. The fact is, if you look at Houston, who won a World Series, they lost 111 games a couple of years before. They put together a very good baseball team, and Kansas City was woeful. They hadn't had anything since 1985, and then they came a game from winning the World Series, and then they won the World Series, and the Cubs are the same thing. You remember their rebuild. The team went through some terrible times, and the fans didn't like it, but they realized that looking ahead, you're going to be better for having rebuilt the organization. You rebuild it with good kids. You rebuild it through the draft. You rebuild it with the occasional free agent, but only until you have the pieces in place. So if you want storylines, it's the fact that things will be better down the road. But if you're looking for wins this year and possibly most of next year, you're just not going to get them. You're unrealistic. You don't understand what a rebuild really is. And although fans want them to win today, you can't build a competitive team today only to finish middle of the pack and then wind up with a 20th pick or 18th pick draft pick, and you wind up the track. You don't get into the playoffs. That's not the way you do these things, and you do them with sustained excellence. And being in a major market, as Chicago is, you can sustain excellence where Kansas City can't. They were 2 years, and now they have to rebuild again, and that's what small market teams do. This is not a small market team. Next year they will have a few bucks to spend because some contracts will come to an end, and I assume that they're going to spend it on some guys that will help them for the future, not guys that are going to help them for the present. So don't look at the youngsters coming up right now because that's not going to happen. There's no motivation
I think
to do that.
What my question, wait. But my question is really this. When you have guys, as you pointed out, and this is, I think, a critically important thing, and you understand this as well as anybody, these are the best of the best in the world, as you said, that are playing here. They've never lost. These are winners all the way through their athletic careers, right? So they want to win. So when you have you have some heartbreak moments that you know where you really feel like I get they know they're not going to the World Series this year. I get that they're not going to the playoffs, but they're still competitive. And when they lose in heartbreakers, you know, when they lose games that they shouldn't be losing, that they should be winning, does that take a toll on them?
I would assume that it takes a toll on some of the guys, but the guys that hang their heads and have it take the most toll on won't be here when it's time to win because those aren't the guys you want. This is an everyday game, and you have terrible losses within the framework of a season. You have losing streaks within the framework of a season. But the guys who take it with them the next day or the next week, you don't want those guys because they're not going to help you when times get tough. And even if you do win it, let's say you have a remarkable year and you win 100 games. That means you lose 62 times. If you lose 62 times and you're feeling terribly depressed on the terrible losses, you're not going to help the team win 100 games. And consequently, in good organizations, you're not going to be here. You get to play for other teams, teams like Tampa Bay, teams that won't win it. And so you send them there. So they have to figure out, not only talent-wise, but you have to figure out baseball acumen-wise and disposition-wise, which guys will be best suited to be the future and which guys you should leave in your rearview mirror. And that's the reason that the player development people and the evaluating people from the White Sox, who are very good at what they do, they've got to determine right now who those guys you want to leave in the rearview mirror are. And then you determine how you're going to make some trades, because there are still some valuable guys in this organization, both in the major leagues and the minor leagues, that would fit very good on other teams and you could get a return for. And it depends on how good you want to evaluate, because if you evaluate very well, then you're going to trade the guys that can't help you on this team, but they look shiny and new for somebody else, and then you get somebody in return who you identify will help you on this team. It's a very complicated process, and the better teams do it really well, and the teams that don't win don't do it quite as well. And I think the White Sox have the pieces in place to be able to evaluate their talent and understand exactly where everybody is, who should be used as trade pieces, who should be kept as you move forward. And then we'll figure out the next couple of years exactly what it's going to look like. But the team is going to look vastly different. And quite frankly, most of the guys who are here now will not be here when it's time for this team to win.
Hey, Steve, Kevin, good to talk to you. One of the names around base that's been tossed around lately here locally, because there are Cub fans speculating, or at least throwing out Manny Machado. Okay, so you know, for the White Sox, they have to figure: do they make a move for him now? But he's a free agent to be. He's part of that loaded free agent class. I guess, what are the chances Machado lands in Chicago, whether it's with the Cubs via trade this year or with the White Sox handing him, which would probably be the largest contract in franchise history this upcoming offseason? He's one of the top 10 players in baseball.
Every time you evaluate something like that, you realize who his agent is, and it says Scott Boras. Mm-hmm. And Scott Boras is not one to sign long-term deals before testing the free agent market. So if you are the Chicago Cubs, because the White Sox at this point can't really use him unless you got a window to negotiate in the future, and they're not going to get that from Boras. So let's say it's the Cubs, and the Cubs decide they want to do that. Then they have to decide, if you do that, you have to trade Addison Russell, because he becomes a spare piece for you, because you got Javi Baez, who's a terrific player and can play just about anywhere in the infield. So let's say you decide to make that move, but what are you going to give up for him? They don't have a lot in their minor league, so you have to give up guys off your major league team, and the name that comes to mind is Schwarber. Would you be willing to trade Schwarber for a rental player? And I'm thinking the object is no, but maybe the Cubs feel differently. You know, if they're still in a race like they are right now, where they can't, you know, you're not going to put anybody away as we're sitting here on the 14th of May. So you take a look and you say, well, will Milwaukee hold up? I don't know. They're not a bad club. Will St. Louis hold up? When they get Molina back, maybe. How about Pittsburgh? The Cubs are behind all of those teams, but really short. I mean, they're one game out of first place and fourth place. So what I think is going to happen is the Cubs will play better and better. Look, Rizzo is not hitting like he can, and he's going to hit because he's a quality hitter. He's going to drive in 100 runs because that's what he does. Bryant's going to continue driving in more runs, and he's going to be very good. Baez is probably not going to lead the league in runs batted in, but he just could. And then eventually you're going to get Hayward back, who's a defensive right fielder as opposed to an offensive right fielder. And I think they got a great bullpen. I think they have a good enough starting rotation to probably put that division away. But if it's close, they might decide to take a 2.5 or 3 month gamble on Machado, knowing that then they got outbid everybody in free agency. But they're not going to want to give up Schwarber for him, I don't believe, or anybody else off their major league team. You know, they spent a great deal of capital in giving the White Sox Cease and Jimenez for Quintana. They've traded away a whole lot of their minor leagues. They have a few chips left, but not any real type A minor leaguers, so then it becomes a little short as far as making that deal. It doesn't make a great deal of sense to me, but maybe it makes sense to him. And the one good thing about Tom Ricketts and Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer is they want to win, and they have a win-now philosophy. And after last year, they might feel that this is the year when they have to go for it. And so if that's the case, Machado fits in perfectly. I mean, he's really a stud. He's leading the American League in runs batted in. He's getting better and better. He's still very young. He's a shortstop, which is a wonderful position if you have a great player like him. So there's no downside with Manny Machado. The only thing is you have to answer who you're going to give up And is he going to be a rental player, which I suspect he is? For me, it all adds up to no, they're not going to get him, but maybe it makes good fodder for the newspapers.
And really, there's nothing to write about right now, so don't worry about it. It's all good. You know, what are you going to do?
Headlines.
Yeah. All right.
Big way.
All right. Steve Stone, you know, it's Steve Stone on Baseball, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good show. Talk to you down the road.
Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye.
Just hung up on the bike. Bye. Do you, was he just laying out a scenario in which the Cubs get him as a rental and the Sox get him next year in a five-year deal?
That could be a possibility. I think it could be even longer than a five-year deal. You're gonna see a couple of the largest contracts in baseball history this offseason with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper hitting the open market. And at the age of what they're at, you know, free agents normally hit the market in their late 20s. Early 30s, they're normally descending as players. For Harper and Machado, they're basically hitting the open market in their prime.
Peak, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, you're looking at $300 million potential contracts here for Harper and Machado.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, if the Sox want him, they can, you know, they're going to have to outbid some other teams. But Machado for the Sox would be perfect. I think it would bring that competitive window even closer. If they do get a player like Machado, we're talking, okay, maybe 3 years down the road without him. By next year, they could be a very interesting team with Machado.
Well, yes, and all of a sudden now you're bringing up
Jimenez, Kopech, and
potentially. And, I mean, they're moving Jimenez already from AA to AAA, right? Isn't it?
That hasn't been announced yet, but he's absolutely tearing up AA. He has 7 homers in just 24 games. He has 25 RBIs in 24 games, so he's blowing away the competition at that level. He'll be at AAA.
We should explain who this is. I mean, for those who, you know...
Eloy Jimenez was the key piece to that Cubs-Sox deal last summer when Jose Quintana went to the north side. Eloy Jimenez is
Considered the best prospect in baseball.
Pretty much in all of baseball. He is already becoming sort of like a legend in the baseball world because there's been videos of him doing the stuff from the natural. He's been seen blowing out lights in batting practice. I'm not kidding. I mean, he puts on a show and... saw him in spring training. He's 6'4", he's 220 pounds. The guy can absolutely obliterate baseballs. People think he's got MVP type stuff down the road. And I do too.
Right fielder, right?
Right fielder. Defensively, he's probably, that's where he needs to work on his game the most. But at the plate, he is a dangerous, dangerous man.
Right. People are comparing him to... you name the legend, and they're comparing Babe Ruth. People have compared
really?
Him to.
Yes. A little soon for that.
People are talking. He's a 40-plus home run type guy, you know, and he can do that consistently. He's a big man. You know, with him in the, I think he's going to be in the White Sox in the middle of the heart of that lineup for many, many years to come. The question now, and Rick Hahn's been asked it about 5,000 times. I've asked him a couple times, when is he coming up to the majors? And I think it will be this year, despite him starting in AA. I think we'll probably see Jimenez. I really want to see him in September when the Cubs and Sox meet, because how cool would it be to see Jimenez go against Jose Quintana? You know, like the two guys. Like there's going to be some storylines in that.
The Luke Rock trade. That's what everybody talks about. Yeah. Is this Luke?
I think it works out for both teams so far. I mean, it's early to tell, but I think it made a ton of sense for both.
Yeah, well, for sure it made sense for the Cubs at the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just know one in the hand, right? But, well, we'll see. It's very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Babe Ruth. That's kind of that really? Okay.
There's a lot of excitement around
him. Yes, there is.
All parts of the baseball world.
All right, let us now check in with Chief Pilot, the Babe Ruth of radio news. What's coming up at the top of the hour?